which they should conduct the Passover. So the chapter comes in between the ninth and the tenth plagues, right? Because we know that the tenth plague was the death of the firstborn. That hasn't happened yet. God is giving His people directions on how to be saved from that plague. They're not even at the Exodus yet, and God is saving His people. So now He's going to rescue them from the plague of the firstborn, and He's going to tell them how to do that. So we're going to get these instructions in chapter 12. I'm not reading the whole chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 28. And then I know some of you said, this guy couldn't do 21 verses this morning in less than 45 minutes. But I can assure you that won't be the case this time. Because really, all I'm going to do after I read the passage and pray is I want to talk about three things and then throw out an application. The three things I want to talk about are, I just want to walk us through the passage and outline God's instructions to the Israelites. And then I want to try to trace the line from those things to the gospel. And then I want to look at one specific New Testament example where Jesus is specifically called the Passover Lamb. And then I'm going to make an application, and then we're going to sing. So pay attention to what we're doing here. This is an important section in Scripture. The Passover, and there's instructions here in this chapter, is later going to be remembered in the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which, as we're all probably aware, especially after Bill's table talk this morning, becomes the feast that Jesus teaches during about the Lord's Supper. So pay attention. This is the Word of God. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, What do you mean by this service? You shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the record that we have of this momentous thing that you did for your people who were still in Egypt, who yearned to be rescued and delivered, who were awaiting the promise that you delivered to them through Moses that you would deliver them, who had this final obstacle of getting past Pharaoh to deal with. And yet, Lord, into that situation, you spoke your word of deliverance, and the people obeyed and were delivered as a result. I pray, God, that we might reflect daily on the great news, the good news, the awesome news in Scripture, that you hear our cry, you deliver us, and if we follow you, we will find that deliverance as well. We remembered, Father, this morning, that final sacrifice of our Passover lamb, as we shared elements that remind us of his body and his blood that were given and spilled for us so that we might truly be delivered. And so this morning, Father, we pray that we would hear the voice that calls us to be obedient as we follow him, and that we would both obey and follow as we walk towards eternity with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have an open Bible, because I want to look at two verses right off the bat. I want to take a second look at verse 1 and then at verse 28. Because this is not only the structure of this section that we're looking at, but the structure, really, of the whole Bible. Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. And then in verse 28, then the people of Israel went and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. We see this pattern spelled out in Exodus, and going forward, when it comes to the people of God and their relationship with God, the Lord speaks, and the people do. And when the people don't do what the Lord spoke, the people run into problems. And that's where they grumble, and that's where they sin, and that's where they fall. Because they didn't do what the Lord said. So the section that we read about the Passover is bounded by those two things. And you may have noticed that beginning in verse 2, running through verse 26, that there were two speeches. God gave instructions to Moses, and then Moses gave instructions to the elders, who then, it's implied, gave instructions to the rest of the people. The Lord said, and the people did. And in between that simple framework, we get the description of the Passover. And in that description of the Passover, I want to call our attention to just four different things. The first one is found already in verse 2. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. The Lord, through the Passover, as the people of God were still in Egypt, makes a new beginning for the people of God. He creates a new beginning, a new framework for them to understand time as He seeks to lead them out of Egypt. From now on, their time, their year will be understood relative to the Passover with which God instructed them. We mark time weekly by remembering the Lord's sacrifice week after week. God gave them the instruction to remember at the beginning of their year the Passover through which God delivered their his people. It's a new beginning. A lot of times when we move to a new house or a new area, or we start a new job, or we have children, we mark that time as though it was the beginning of a new era. And for Israel, the Passover really was that very thing. It was a new beginning for the people of God. Not long after this, God's going to lead them out, where they have to follow Him by faith as they go in the wilderness, and it was going to be the Passover that marked that beginning for them. Secondly, what did the Passover require? For them to be saved, it required a substitution for themselves. If they didn't obey, the firstborn in their household would be killed. God was taking a life by blood, one way or the other. And so for God to pass over them, a substitute for their firstborn had to be offered. And so God gave instructions for every man to take a lamb, a blemishless lamb, and to sacrifice that lamb in a particular way, and then to use the blood from that lamb to mark out the doors on their house. And two or three times in this passage, we were told when the angel sees the blood, it will pass over. So they needed a substitute. And the Passover was about judgment and about salvation. For those who didn't obey, and for the Egyptians, it was judgment for the hardness of hearts in not doing the things of God. And it was a heavy penalty. If we read on to the administration of this plague, we would see the weeping and wailing that erupted in Egypt, that God would do such a thing when they all woke up the next day and their firstborn children were gone. They were dead. But on the other hand, the Passover is about salvation. The lamb loses its life as a form of judgment, but salvation is for Israel because they were saved by the blood. Verse 13, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you." When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Passover was about judgment on Egypt, but deliverance for Israel. And then the fourth point to draw out of this, in the instructions God gave in verses 15 through 20, They are to commemorate this Passover annually with a new festival, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You know, as a church here, we always like to eat. Probably one of the things people miss the most is the potlucks that we had once a year. God commemorated His deliverance of the people of God with an annual potluck. They would come together to celebrate in this new festival at the beginning of their year, their deliverance by blood and their salvation at the hands of God. Now, I'm talking up here, and you're probably already thinking ahead to some of the lines that I'm going to trace from the Passover into the Gospel. You know them all. This isn't going to be anything new. But it's important that we make these understandings. Because this was central for the people of God. Just like this is central for the people of God. And when we think about what was happening here, we know that the big theme of deliverance is obviously the big theme that we want to key on. And we think about the deliverance that we have as a result of the sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins as the will of God through His obedience to God. He became our Passover lamb. But let's look at each of those four things and trace them out a little bit further. The Passover was a new beginning for the people of God. Jesus' death and resurrection mark a new beginning for the people of God. God ushers in a new age. The age of waiting for His return, when the culmination of all the promises of God that we await in Scripture, including the promise of everlasting and eternal life, was ushered in with the death and resurrection of Jesus, we now are in a new beginning and a new age through the Gospel. Our deliverance was obtained through a substitution as well. We were on the line. Like the people in Egypt, we were standing in judgment until God gave us a way out, a way to be delivered, and that deliverance was by blood. The only thing different here is we didn't have to go find the lamb ourselves. God found it, sacrificed it, and delivered the blood Himself for us. And we've been saved by that substitutionary atonement, that sacrifice of Jesus. And the message of judgment and salvation is the same. We either reject Jesus or we accept Him. We either hear that call to find ourselves delivered by the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us, and we either accept that or we reject it. But the same judgment and salvation given to the people of Israel is given to us. May we be people who find our salvation in Him. And then a new festival. A new festival. We mark out time week by week by week on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, remembering how we achieved or how our deliverance was achieved. Let me say that clearly because I don't want to be misunderstood. We remember weekly how our deliverance was achieved. I said that in a passive tense on purpose because we don't ever save ourselves. But we are saved because God sacrificed a Passover lamb and spread the blood around the doorposts for us. We didn't even have to wake up to do that the way that they did. God did it. But there's a place in the New Testament where Jesus is specifically called the Passover Lamb. Some of you know where I'm going with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn over there if you would. Or find it on your phone, your Bible app, whatever you're using. Because you need to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. I'll start in verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In Exodus 12, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was celebrated with that very thing, with unleavened bread. And in connection with Jesus being called the Passover lamb, here in this passage, Paul tells the Corinthians to cleanse out the old leaven and to become a new unleavened lump. Why is he talking about that? The only issue that we saw in Exodus 12 about leaven is that they were to do this unleavened bread. And God, when he gave the instructions to Moses, he didn't spend a lot of time talking about the purpose of leaven, the way that we get it here with Paul, that leaven comes in as an infiltrating agent. It works its way in. And Paul, he's talking about Christ has been sacrificed, so cleanse out the old leaven. But why is he saying that? Look back at verse 1. And Paul says, now he's getting this report, and he said, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not even tolerated among pagans. Paul says, you've got a major issue in your church. So we can make the connection that Paul is saying in verse 7, there's some old leaven in your midst, because there is some sin in your midst, so cleanse it out. But why does he make such an emphasis on this? Note what he says in verse 7, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. If the Passover lamb has been sacrificed, then that means that the angel of death is on the way to begin its Passover, and there isn't time to waste anymore with sin in the camp. It's got to go. When the angel of death is on the way, we don't take time to stop and bake bread. We hear the words, the Lord's commands, we stop and we obey. We make haste to get that sin out and get on the road with God. What sin might we be dealing with? In Exodus, it was a sin of disobedience. It's not obeying. God will rescue me no matter what I do. I'm not going to do His word. Same problem for us today. I don't have to do God's word. He said He'll save me. Get that old leaven out. And we can look at 1 Corinthians. Immorality, division, pride, unloving attitudes. Are we guilty of any of those? Get that leaven out. Christ, the Passover lamb, has been sacrificed in verse 7. That means that the options of judgment and salvation are in play. We don't have time to waste dealing with unresolved sin in our midst. We don't know when that angel is going to pass over. And it is time for us to hear the words of God and to get moving. Notice again in Exodus 12. The Lord said, the people did. That's the framework we want to follow. The framework we want to find. The Lord said, the people did. The word of God through Paul, get rid of the leaven and get on the road with God. There is no time for us to waste or to fool around with sin. The Lord said, the people did. Christ our Lamb has been sacrificed. The blood has been shed. Our deliverance is at hand. Make haste to obey the word of the Lord and remove the leaven of sin before He comes. Let's stand and sing.